Most of the details of this story come from two eyewitnesses, secondhand in one case. The earliest known sources are three books published at least 47 years later, which differ on many points. Veterans' pension applications confirm the basic facts, but leave details with caution. You are on the plantation of Charles Bruce, along with his family and an unknown number of enslaved people. The home itself was on the hill behind and to the left of the graveyard, hidden by leaves during warmer months. A veteran reported years later, this is a muster point for local part-time militia soldiers, both for the 1776 campaign against the Cherokees in the far west of the state, and one to suppress Loyalists in the Cross Creek or Fayetteville area the next year. Two major wagon roads meet a half mile north, right if facing the road, at Bruce's Crossroads, the current intersection of Summerfield and Oak Ridge Roads. The Bruce family cemetery is inside the fence. Look at the tombstone, which is probably not by his actual grave. Charles Bruce was born in Virginia to a large landowner who died when Charles was an infant. Little is known about Bruce's life until he married in Oxford, North Carolina in 1768 and moved to Guilford County the next year. He was elected to the 1776 Provincial Congress in Halifax that declared support for independence. The next year, he was appointed by the state to recruit Continental troops in the county and as a commissioner to oversee completion of the courthouse, prison, and stocks around which Greene's main army now is camped. In September 1780, a civil war between Patriots and Loyalists was heating up, thanks to the British being in South Carolina. A letter from the North Carolina Board of War to a militia colonel says, "Mr. Charles Bruce has in his possession a large quantity of money and is now on his way to Little River and Duplin County. He has applied to me for a guard, thinking it dangerous to go without." The author does not say what the money is for, but orders the colonel to provide protection. Near the end of the war, 2 years later, Bruce was appointed as a public auditor. That same year, he may have built a mill on Robison Creek, which runs behind the modern school across the road. Afterwards, he was named a commissioner for the sale of property confiscated from Loyalists and, like many of those men, managed to buy some of it at low prices. Turn around to face the road. Around noon on Sunday, February 11, 1781, William's light corps of 700 cavalry and infantry flows up the wagon road where Summerfield Road is now from the left, and probably past you onto the grounds of Bruce's plantation. Included is the American Legion cavalry of Lieutenant Colonel Light Horse Henry Lee. Neither men nor horses having eaten that morning, the troopers make fires and begin cooking breakfast. A spring on the property may have provided water. Lee says in his memoir, "The morning was cold and drizzly. Our fires, which had been slow in kindling, were now lively. The meat was on the coals and the corn cake in the ashes." The rains have made their gunpowder damp, cavalry trooper James Martin told people years later. That means their guns may be unreliable, but reports from their scouts indicate the British are nowhere near. A local farmer, Isaac Wright, rides in on a puny farm horse, probably down the road from the right, and asks to speak to the commander. He tells Williams he spotted the British 4 miles away. According to Martin, Lee does not believe Wright and insults him, but Martin intervenes. Lee orders Captain James Armstrong and a few men to investigate with Wright, and they move out to the right toward Bruce's crossroads. A message apparently arrives from a patrol, however, confirming the British are close. Williams decides Armstrong should have more men and sends Lee to join him with a detachment of 18 to 30 troopers. Sources differ. First, Lee orders someone ahead to tell Armstrong to slow down, and Lee's group catches up after a mile or so. With them is Lee's bugler, James Gillies. Contrary to modern claims, including an historical marker seen later, the only early source that mentions his age says he was around 18. Lee merely describes him as a beardless boy. Gillies is buried in the Bruce family cemetery. The Summerfield Historical Committee investigated the Bruce Cemetery with ground-penetrating radar. They found a pair of small graves on either side of the tree on the left, a large one between the trees on the backside, its far end in line with the trees, and a slightly smaller one next to it, just this side of the tree on the right. Records show the Bruces lost two infants at childbirth and that the Bruces are buried here. There is also one large separate grave just to the right of the Bruce marker, by coincidence, running back into the cemetery, its near end almost aligned with the marker. The committee's guess is this last grave is that of Gillies. If you wish, visit the 1923 Daughters of the American Revolution monument across the street to Gillies and Bruce. Then, to learn how Gillies died, Go back to your car and follow the troopers using the driving instructions under surprise and an attack.